Welcome to There Is Hope, a program dedicated to getting those trapped in addiction on the road to recovery and living clean and sober lives. The opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of this station, and any advice or counsel given is provided for informational purposes only. Your host for There Is Hope, Richard Dover.
So welcome to There Is Hope. We're a live talk show. We discuss the topics of addiction and recovery. If you or someone you know is struggling with an addiction, then this show is for you. We want you to know that there truly is hope. Well, tonight we have a special guest. It's Pastor Robert Wallace of Victory Life Center Church in Kent, Washington. I'm excited to be talking about Pastor Bob, and what he's going to share tonight is his own story and then share what he's seen works in regards to recovery from addictions. So if you or a loved one has an addiction problem, I encourage you to just listen in and hear how God can work in your life. Welcome to the show, Pastor Bob.
Hello, Pastor Rich. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. It's great to have you here.
Yes.
It's been a while, so it's nice to have you. You know, every single week we have a radio spot about Victory Life Center. I thought it was time. People need to hear who Pastor Bob is behind Victory Life Center. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, before we talk about some of your experience, I thought it might be good for you to share your own personal experience before we talk about individuals that you've ministered to over the years. So, you know, I want listeners to know that when you're sharing and talking about what the gospel can do, it's not just something you've read in a book. It's something you've experienced in your own life. So why don't you take a few minutes to share how God worked in your own life?
Yes, I'd like to do that, Pastor Rich. At the age of about 15, I started drinking. And because of home situation, things that I was going through at home and experiencing personally, which I believe leads to a lot of people's lives when it starts out at a young age, maybe something going on in the home. And but anyway, I started drinking, started running around with a group of people that just continued to go that direction. During that time, I never got into really the hard drugs or anything like that. There was a few times I experimented with different types of drugs other than alcohol, but mainly it was my addiction was alcohol.
So your drug of choice would be alcohol.
Yeah.
You didn't need to have any other drug.
I didn't use anything but that. And of course, in my mind, I thought it was safer.
Yeah, and you thought you was better off than maybe some of those druggies out there, right?
Oh, yeah, you know. I had a lot of different friends, and they were experimenting in a lot of different times. Of course, that was years ago, and I think this is a good thing because that was, I was thinking back today, it was about 37 years ago. Yeah, it was during the drug culture, 60s, or early 70s, and we saw a lot of different things coming in. People were experimenting with all kinds of stuff at that time, just no different than today. And what happened was that I just continued to drink, and my addiction, of course, I didn't think it was an addiction. I just thought that's the way it was supposed to be. And, of course, I thought I was having a great time, having a lot of fun. And
you thought you was having a great time.
Yeah. It's because I know different now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and of course I'd always say, hey, we're just looking for, have a good time. We're not out here to hurt anybody. And, you know, that was what I would tell people all the time when they would try to approach me about changing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as the years went on and I got married, I had two children, I was still drinking every day.
So your kids didn't stop you from drinking?
No, my kids didn't. My marriage didn't. And
but did you even think you had a problem at that time?
I didn't realize I had a problem. I had people telling me. My parents would tell me, you know, you need to change.
But you were working.
Working.
Hard worker. I know you. You're a hard worker, and I'm sure you're a hard worker then. And so wasn't that part of your excuse? Hey, I'm working hard. I'm taking care of the family.
And that's part of it. I never let that slow me down from achieving or doing my best or excelling. But I did drink almost every day. And that continued on in my life till 1973. Then one night I walked into a church, 1973, heard the gospel preached really for the first time, and God really spoke to my heart. I wanted to leave the building, but instead I went to that altar, and God transformed my life that night.
Now, is that pretty much, you had no exposure really to Christianity before then?
Or? I'd gone to church a couple times before that. To be honest with you, the only reason I went to church because I went with some buddies and there were some girls there.
There you go. How many times is that the case? That's
the only reason that I went, you know.
And it didn't work out, so no reason to go back.
As a teenager, you know. So, but other than that, that was really the first night I had really heard the gospel message where it really spoke to my heart. And Deep down, I was wanting a change, but I didn't know how to change, and because I wasn't raised in a Christian home, my parents, you know, I knew about God, heard about Jesus, but never experienced Jesus with the transforming, changing power that he has from the message of the cross.
You know, you said something that there was a part of you that wanted change but didn't know how to change or how to go about that. What was there going on with your life that was bringing that? Because you're able to hold down a job, you still have a marriage that's intact to an extent, have the children. Something, what was kind of like the kind of light bulbs or something that said...
Some of it was getting old. You know, I mean, it was really, yeah. It was just wearing on me at times and then at times...
Because you only can run so long and do that game, playing that game for so long, yeah. Right? And no longer a game.
Right. And, you know, to be honest with you, I had other people that were literally, people were praying for me, for my salvation. And I didn't know what that was all right. about, you know.
So there was more than just what you wanted. There was some people that said, this is not going good and stood right. in the gap for you, even if yeah. you didn't know it.
Yes. Yeah, and certainly that happened. My wife's parents, who were actually ministers. And my wife had married me because she was in rebellion, and she thought I was the furthest thing from God. And, you know, God showed up. She, at a point in her life, and she wasn't really a drinker, but she did drink. She turned her life over to the Lord. And so there was a number of things that happened during that period of time that really brought me to the Lord. And that night changed me. I want to say this. And basically, I had a Damascus Road experience in my life. I said, I didn't know how to pray. I went to the altar and I said, God, if you're real, just show me that you're real. Show mm-hmm. me that you're real. Mm-hmm. And he did. He showed up and literally delivered me from that addiction that night. And that was the beginning. But I mean, the word, the gospel is true, where it says he has the power to destroy darkness, and that on the cross he destroyed the powers of darkness. So that night when I accepted Jesus, even though I didn't understand it all, that desire that used to be there was really, it was gone.
It was gone.
It was gone.
It went away.
Yes.
And you know that beyond a shadow of a doubt.
I know that beyond a shadow. That doesn't mean that I didn't ever have to deal with the attacks that came back, the desires try to come back or those things. And I know you want to talk a little bit about that at some point. God set me free that night. Now, yeah. It was up to me to continue to walk in it.
Yeah, and we're going to talk more about that because I know, go ahead and say you're saying that you're saved out of darkness. It's one step. What do you say?
I say it's not 12 steps. It's one step out of darkness into light.
And you're convinced that that's the case. Now, you believe that there's a process after that we call
Absolutely.
Sanctification.
Absolutely.
And there's you don't get set free and then go back into the same crowd and all the other kind of stuff. And we'll talk about that, but for you... You were set free, didn't go to AA, didn't go to meetings, didn't go to counselors.
I didn't even know about AA.
You didn't. All you knew, you was bound up. Yeah. God set you free, and there was no reason to go to a place else except you started
going
to church.
I was different. In fact, I went to work the next day, and I was an iron worker, and the guy working next to me kept looking at me all morning. Finally, walked over to him, and he goes, What happened to you? And I said, well, I got born again last night. I got saved. And he goes, whoa, that's a little bit too much for me. But, you know, God, it was evident after a while what God had done in my life. And to not only to me, but all those around me, the extreme change that had taken place. And I mean extreme, from one side to clear to the other.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, what I want to do is, in the midst of that, that's your story. But you've seen many other lives change. Yes. And I want you to talk a little bit about some of your experiences in ministry after that point. You got into the ministry. And when we come back, we'll talk more about that. You're listening to There Is Hope Radio.
Time to take a break. We'll be back with more There Is Hope with Richard Dover.
Well, welcome back to There Is Hope. This is your radio host, Richard Dover. I have Pastor Robert Wallace, that's with Victory Life Center in Kent, Washington, as our guest. If you just tuned in, we're a live talk show. We discuss the topics of addiction and recovery. Well, as we're talking with Pastor Bob, he shared with his own testimony how God set him free from alcohol and drugs. And many things transpired after that. He ended up going to Bible college and ended up becoming a minister. Moved to the Seattle area. That's a story in itself how God brought him there. Just don't have the time for all that. But he moved into to Seattle and ended up starting ministry in the Capitol Hill area of Seattle. That's kind of like the inner city part of Seattle. And Pastor Bob, when you did that, you had no idea that the next thing you know, God would be taking to a lot of dysfunctional people. Is that right?
I had no idea.
No idea.
What was about to happen.
If you knew what was about to happen, you probably would have had, I know you had the call of God and you would have been obedient, but you would have said, is there some place I can go probably? Because I know the stories.
Yeah. It's one of those stories where our heart was just to be somewhere where God wanted us. And we did not really know what we were getting into.
Yeah, you're young. You're young. Just started them. I mean, you just got out of Bible school, right? And started doing ministry.
Yeah, exactly.
And one of the worst areas you could do ministry in Seattle at the time, not knowing it.
We didn't know that. You know, we just knew that that's where God wanted us. And shortly after that, the Lord, as we moved here, gave us a building. We started the ministry and spent a lot of time on the streets. And then we also were working with Teen Challenge.
Yeah, no, but one time the church was at Teen Challenge, right?
Yes, they had a meeting center, and we were able to meet there. And we worked right alongside with Teen Challenge as we were also planting a church there.
So you had a congregation to an extent, and there's one there people would choose is to have a congregation full of people coming out of treatment, right?
We had all kinds
of... course, some of them weren't coming out of treatment, right?
Yeah, we faced all kinds of difficulties, and... but we saw so many lives changed. Even still today, a number of them are either email us or call us. We're in contact with them all over the country, some in ministry. But it's been exciting to see what God can do.
Now, what type of addictions did you deal with? I mean, you're still dealing with them to this extent, but I mean, it was full core, hardcore stuff. What were some of the addictions that you dealt with that you've seen God work in people's lives?
We dealt with heroin addicts. We dealt with people involved in sexual deviancies.
You had prostitutes that right across from the church,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. They were actually, when we first moved in there, they had a corner that they worked, and then they moved on.
I wonder why.
But it was, you know, alcoholism, you name it, whatever's out there.
Mental illness.
Dealt with people, you know, and that's one of the biggest things is a lot of people don't realize that prescription drugs can be very addictive, just as well as if it was, you know, crack, cocaine, or anything else.
So you could have a mom that was a mom strung out on prescription drugs.
Yes. Yes, I've seen that, and incredible stories of how people have come in the church through the years. And I remember one lady in particular who was a nurse, and she said, I want to be set free. And she had these two big boxes, and that was full of prescription drugs. I mean, they were huge cardboard boxes, and she sets them up on the altar. And then she says, the rest's out my car.
The rest?
Her
more.
Whole trunk was loaded with drugs. And, you know, we disposed of them. But, you know, a lot of people don't realize some of the stories of people that are out there that are so in bondage. But yet they're crying out, I need to get free.
Yeah, and I was going to say that in the midst of that, you had individuals, again, had a variety of issues. Almost for sure, if somebody's involved in drugs, there starts to be mental illness that goes. You know, sometimes did they have mental illness and go to drugs, or did the drugs bring the mental illness? But it seems to be go together many times. I mean, you saw that.
So I think the biggest thing that I saw and could trace was the sin pattern that was going on in their life would lead them to deal with the guilt and the shame of some of the things that they were involved in. They'd start using drugs and or alcohol or one thing or the other, and then even some of that with guilt and that shame would push them right over the edge, and they'd end up in the hospital with a breakdown.
With a breakdown.
Yeah.
You know, we don't talk much on the show about this, but I think this would be good to talk about, is you talk about the guilt and the shame and those who are in sexual deviancy behavior. Is I'm sure that you saw, they would tell you, you know, people say, well, you're putting a label on them. But they would tell you because of the guilt and shame of that lifestyle, they'd go into drugs. Is that true?
That's true. Because that's the only way they could really deal with what was going on in their life, how to deal with the shame is what it was. I mean, that's the only guilt.
And it wasn't you as a church putting shame or guilt on them because you're doing the opposite. You're telling them that, you know what, there's a way out and an answer. That shame and guilt is from the lifestyle.
Exactly, and that's what the Bible teaches us. And so, I mean, that's what this talk show is about.
Right.
And if we want help, so we have to look at the Bible. And the Word of God is, many of those people don't even realize that they are in that kind of a situation. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those who believe not. And they're blinded to actually what is going on in their life, and they're being pushed by the enemy, controlled by the enemy. Ephesians chapter 2 says that, controlled by the prince of this world, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And like we've talked so many other times, it always takes us further than we ever wanted to go.
Right, right.
You know.
And I think that's the one thing that if you're listening and you've just started into an addiction, maybe you're not even calling it an addiction yet, you know, you're just having the beers on Friday nights, whatever it may be, is that you need to understand is that it will take you further than you ever planned to go. You may think you're just having a good old time, that you're just having a little bit of partying and everything will be okay. There's individuals. I drank until I'd pass out. And when I quit, I quit. I didn't believe in God. I just quit. I was one of those people that you might say was blessed that I did. When I wanted to quit, I quit. But I work with many, many, many people that wish that was their story. For many, that is not the case, is that they started out with something minor and has gone to a place that they feel like there's no way out.
Yeah. And a lot of times people don't realize how subtle the enemy works. And I always tell people, I said, it may be something small, but what happens in a weak moment?
Right.
You know, when you're all downcast, when you're depressed. You know,
right, yeah,
something
goes wrong. You could just be having a few drinks, then life turns to chaos, and you have to have a few more drinks, and the next thing you know, you do some stupid thing, yeah, and you find yourself down a path you never, yeah, ever, ever planned to go on.
For me, hard liquor, I would just go crazy.
You knew you had to stay away from hard liquor. It would take you down.
You know, beer, you know, was one thing that I could drink. It wouldn't. I mean, I would get, you know,
right,
drunk out of my mind, but I would, the hard liquor, for some reason, it would just, there was a reaction. I would literally either end up in a fight or something just crazy would transpire. And looking back, you know, I think about this sometimes, and even today I go, how stupid was I? I mean, how crazy, you know, and I could almost feel that guilt and that shame from that, you
right
know, and I just, and then at that moment I go, thank you, Jesus,
yeah,
for
yeah
saving me. Thank you for...
Because you think of the dumb, crazy stuff
goodness
you've done and
things that I shouldn't even be alive.
Right.
You know, and at that, especially when you're a teenager or young adult, you think you're invincible. And a lot of the people that I grew up with today, during that period of time, a lot of them aren't alive today, and it was because
right
of drugs and alcohol-related things that went on that cost them their life, cost them their marriage, cost them their jobs, cost them, you know, everything.
You know, I want to talk just a moment here, is that in the midst of it, because individuals think because they're getting away with it in their mind, because, you know what, I can get drunk as a skunk and I can act crazy, but, you know, I still can hold down a job. You know, I can maintain off of some painkillers and I'm still able to function. And you know, you and I talk, and you certainly do this in your sermons, you talk about the fact that that's part of the deception of the enemy, is because a person says, well, you know, I've gotten away with it this long, I can keep getting away with this. And yet you could have story after horror stories. We're going to talk about some good stories, but you have horror stories where, you know what, it was too late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. And, you know, and I have to go back to what the Word of God says, the wages of sin is death. And that's that separation, but it could eventually cause physical death in a person's life. I remember I had an uncle who was an alcoholic, and I remember as growing up as a young man, and as a child, he'd always be drunk and he'd be down at the bar. He'd open the bar up and he'd close the bar. Well, he got cancer when he was about 56 years old, and I flew back home and went to visit him specifically because I felt the Lord spoke to me to go visit him and to witness to him. And we were sitting there, and he had surgery in his mouth, and half his mouth was gone, up his roof of his mouth, and all these different things because of cancer. And we were sitting there, and he made this statement. You know, he goes, He says, you know, I was an alcoholic. I drank 56 years. And he says, isn't it something that now I'm sober and I'm dying that I finally realize there's more to life than that?
Yeah.
And that was the sad thing. But, you know, here was the good thing, is that he did give his heart to the Lord, and that he was very sincere about what took place. And even some of the neighbors that had talked to him, you know, they confirmed that. So that was something good that happened out of it. But the sad thing was that all those years that are wasted because of addiction.
And if you're listening again and you're a young person, is that where you want to be, your story? And again, you think you're invincible, but the reality is at any moment, any time, you can make one bad choice that could take you out. And so I would encourage you, if you're playing around with drugs, you're playing around with alcohol, you know what, isn't it time to get help? Isn't it time to say, you know what, I need an answer. I need a solution to this problem. Now, of course, we believe that answer is Jesus Christ and is Jesus Christ alone. I believe there's other programs out there that can help individuals, that can take them to a path of recovery. But if you want to walk in the fullness of freedom and deliverance, that ultimately Jesus Christ is the answer. And what I want to do is I want to talk about, we're going to go to a break here, but I want to talk about an individual. You know, society would say it's a hopeless case for this individual and how God turned their life around. So when we come back, you know, go ahead and share that with us. You're listening to There Is Hope Radio.
More There Is Hope coming up with host Richard Dover.
Welcome back to There's Hope Radio. Well, during the break, we were talking about with Pastor Bob about an individual that he thinks of their story of how their society would say, this individual you're talking about, you're saying it's hopeless, right? Society was just hopeless for him.
Society would say that it's absolutely hopeless.
There's no way this man's life's not going to
change. Not only
change.
Hopeless, they had given up on him.
Just write him off.
Write him off.
So what was his story? Where did he come from, and where did he wind up being at?
I think one of the most amazing stories is this man. And, of course, I just would have to say I've seen so many working with Teen Challenge, and especially during a 10-year period of working in the Capitol Hill Central District and downtown Seattle throughout the 80s. But there's this a man, I'm just going to say his name is Bob, because he doesn't know I'm sharing this tonight, but he's still in the area. But Bob McKigney was his name. And Bob was an interesting guy. To meet him, it was just so amazing. We were in street ministry one night, and a friend of mine, who's now a missionary in Thailand, witnessed to him as he was literally in the gutter down on First Avenue. And the thing was that this young man had all kinds of abuse, sexual abuse, and then which led him into drugs and alcohol and a story. And at this time, he was in his 30s. And but what happened was is he that night he needed so much hope, mm-hmm. which he was hopeless,
right? Literally
in the gutter. Gave his heart to the Lord, there was something we did, was we helped him. So especially Alan, who worked with him, and then Alan introduced me to him later on again, and it was amazing what God had done in this man's life. There was two things that happened. One is that he heard the gospel. Two, he had a desire to change. He wanted to change. He was basically illiterate. He never graduated out, had a grammar school education, let alone a high school education, mm-hmm. or any college or anything else. But as he prayed, God helped him to read.
You just tell me he couldn't even read.
He couldn't even read. And so the amazing thing is he set out to learn how to read, and God literally, he prayed one night. He said, I prayed one night, and God helped me to really learn how to read. And he, of course, he had other people helping him, but I mean, literally, you have to understand where this man was and his condition. Who I don't think there was a day at that time he was ever sober,
mm-hmm.
for so many years. But and what happens is, you know what happens if a person that's on drugs or alcohol or any of those types of drugs for a long period of time, how it affects their mind, their thinking.
How they relate to people. I mean, everything.
An introvert, you know, a recluse type person, not trusting. But God's totally transformed this guy's life. And I remember walking into his apartment a few years later. And a little apartment, but he had a bookshelf from wall to wall, about 12 foot wide, and it was stocked with books. And he says, "I've read every one of these." And it, you know, the amazing story about how he couldn't read, how God helped him to read, and going on to be involved in ministry. And now he's helping other people who were in his situation.
Now, what do you think are some of the keys? As we have listeners here, they're saying, well, that's a great story, but it can't happen with me. And, of course, you know what, God doesn't have favorites, yeah, and it can happen to anybody. But maybe some said, well, I did that. I accepted Jesus, but it didn't work. You know, I'm back on drugs. I tried that God thing. You hear this, yeah, all the time. I tried that God thing, it didn't work. I tried that Jesus thing, that didn't work. We're going to talk about why it don't work for other individuals, but why did it work for him? What were some unique things that you believe is required for a person to really walk in freedom from addiction?
Number one, he was willing to get out of the environment that he was tied to, and besides giving his heart to Jesus.
Right.
The power of the gospel. Number one, the power of gospel. Second thing, he was willing to step out of that environment.
Do you believe, you've been doing this for years and years and years now, working with individuals, all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of sin. We're talking about addiction, but you've dealt with people. You're a pastor, so you deal with every kind of sin issue there is, every dysfunctional issue there is, whatever label you want to put on it. And is that one of the keys, is you, yeah, have to distance, yeah, yourself, even family members at times?
Because you have to understand, this man, it wasn't only addictions. It was all the other things that could say, you will never be a functional person,
right,
in society.
Right.
Never.
So he had to get away from any human being that would tell him, you're useless. He would have to distance himself,
yeah,
from.
He pulled away from there and began to get the counseling, the help that he needed and desired. And most of all, he never missed a service. He was always in church every Sunday. Anytime the doors were open, he had a hunger and a desire to be with the fellowship of God. And in my own case, in my own life, I remember that was a key thing. I changed the environment by stepping away from where I was,
right,
and beginning to fellowship with like-minded people.
And that's normally going to happen in a church,
yeah,
setting.
And I had to make changes. He had to make changes. And everyone there is going to have to make choices.
Right, right.
You know, every day.
You know, even for myself, I didn't have an addiction problem, but lived with depression, suicidal thoughts for years. Even as a Christian, I did that. And what kept me alive is the fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it sounds crazy. I could share the gospel with somebody, and I'd be suicidal the next day. But you know what? I made sure every time the church door was open, I was there. People would say, well, then you shouldn't have been living that way for years. Well, you know, some of us are just screwed up, messed up, and really don't grasp the fullness of the gospel. But I knew my only hope, my only answer, was the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was Jesus. It was fellowship with other believers. That was where my strength was at. And yet you and I work with individuals that, you know, they get touched by God, and they're doing really good, but then they start not fellowship, and they start getting, yeah, away from the church.
Anytime you start to withdraw from that fellowship, and I'll tell you the biggest reason why, and that is, we call it accountability.
Right.
And accountability in my own personal life, to this day, I have men around me that hold me accountable in my life, and I'm accountable to them with my life. And when anyone pulls away from that accountability, see, if there's something really going on and we don't want anybody to know about it, then we're not going to be accountable.
Right. And that means then we're not going to probably be free.
That's right. You have to want to be free, and you have to want to be honest with what's going on. And
let's talk about that for a moment as you talk about the gym you're talking about. There has to be honesty. There has to be honesty where you're at, and an openness to counsel. And when you're confronted with issues in your life, you can't cop out. You can't excuse it.
Yeah. I've said things that may seem awful, harsh to some people, but I go, the reason you're not free is because you don't want to be free. You like what you're doing. And until someone comes to a point that says, you know what, I'm tired of doing this, and makes that choice to say, you know what, I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to walk this road of freedom. Now everything is there. The gospel gives them the power to walk in freedom, to renew their mind, to have the ability to. It's incredible what God gives us, the grace and the mercy and and the word and the revelation of that word to renew our mind. But if I withdraw from that, you see, but I have to choose, say, you know what? Still to this day, I have to say, you know what? I'm going to read my word today.
Yeah, just talk for a moment about that, because you got set free, and you know beyond a shadow of doubt God set you free. But it's been how many years? Over 35 years, something like that. And you haven't arrived yet.
No.
And I think that's one of the things I see is a real challenge working with individuals. I know you've seen this. People get set free, whether it's through 12 steps, AA, whatever it is. They get free whatever way. It's obviously that they're getting free. But then all of a sudden there's that mindset, you know what? I'm okay now. And I don't need the fellow. I don't need to read my Bible. You know, I don't need to I don't know about prayer. Well, you know, I maybe should go back. It's all those things, right, that it takes people right back into the mess.
And I think the biggest thing that I've learned is that true discipleship is that accountability. And where we have built into our life people around us who will speak into our life, not death.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But they'll deal with love, sometimes correction, reproof. And that's part of the problem when dealing with people that come out of addictions and stuff. I hear it. You go, you know, I know. I go, no, you don't know. And part of what happens is if we're rebellious, you know, the Bible says that the Word of God is inspired, God breathed, and it's there for instruction, correction, and instruction and righteousness for the man of or a woman of God to be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So that word will correct us. It will reprove us.
And that's okay.
And that's good. That's good. But see, depending on where we're coming from with our mind and our mindset, we could say, oh, they're trying to tell me what to do.
They're trying to control me.
When what we're trying to do is instruct and bring correction. And that's what the Word of God is designed for. Because it also says about the Word of God that it knows the thought and the intent of the heart, and some of the most difficult times that for my own personal life is when that Word speaks to me cuts to the deep of where I really am,
and I think that's the key to change overall, no matter what it is, whatever area of change that you have, is that there has to be a place where there's an honesty with yourself, an honesty with others, honesty with God, and when there is that convicting spirit, where, you know, people say, oh, I don't know, I've never heard God's voice. Well, I'll tell you what, do something wrong, you hear God's voice. Yeah. And when there's that conviction, and talking about people who relapse, is that there's that place where they know the Holy Spirit is speaking to them through the Word of God, through individuals, through a radio show like this. He's speaking to them and saying, you know what, you're starting to fall back in that old pattern. Mm-hmm. And when you hear that voice, when you know that that place is where you're going back to that old way of living, that's when you have to be at a place to be humble enough to say, I need to stop right now. I need to get with somebody, need to get into some prayer, need to get in some intercession for me.
And that's the key thing. It isn't about being perfect, because we can't be perfect, but it is about a forward progress. And that forward progress, it may be just, you know, small steps, but that forward progress is the key thing. Paul says, I'm knocked down, but I'm not knocked out. And that's where we have to say, you know what? Repentance is the key. Lord, forgive me. And that's what you're talking about, this humility and saying, having a heart and a spirit says, you know what? I'm going to go for God. I don't know how difficult it is, how many times I got to get up, but I'm going to get up and I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to stop.
Not going to stop. When we come back, Pastor Bob, we're going to close this interview, but I wanted you to pray with our audience and just share your last words with them. You're listening to There Is Hope Radio.
We'll be back with more There Is Hope with Richard Dover.
Well, welcome back to There Is Hope. This is your radio host, Richard Dover, and we've been interviewing Pastor Bob from Victory Life Center Church in Kirkland, Washington. And Pastor Bob and I have been talking just what works for recovery, what doesn't work. And And during the break, we were talking and we were saying that we know the things that work, accountability, being honest, all those type of things. But the start of all that is Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Is that what you believe, Pastor Bob? I wonder if that's what you believe.
Well, I won't deny that. That is true. It has to start somewhere. The Bible says you have to quicken who were dead in trespass and sin.
Yeah, you know, we talked about that in prayer just before here. Why don't you take just a minute? We don't have much time here, but talk about that we're dead in sin and that God wants to bring life.
Well, I like to use Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, and it talks about you have to quicken who are dead in trespass and sin. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we also had our conversation, our way of life in times past, in fulfilling of the flesh of the mind and the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. So that what that's saying is literally we're dead. There isn't one spark of true God in us apart from God. But when we ask Jesus Christ to come into our life, and, you know, that's when we say, hey, you know what, I'm a sinner. We're all sinners, but I'm a sinner saved by grace. And that's the difference. And because of that, that's repentance and saying, God, come into my life. Turn me around. And I was born again. And that's the quickening, made alive by the Spirit of the living God. The Holy Spirit come into my life and is now the guide of my life, along with the Word, and guides me in righteousness and holiness.
And if an individual doesn't have Jesus in their life, they don't have the power of the Holy Spirit there. So I'm not totally against the 12 steps and principles. I think they're biblical principles, and all that's good. Going to counseling, I believe in counseling, all those are good. But you can learn all the information, you have all the keys, all the concepts, but if you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life,
right,
there's going to be some limitation that's there.
I'll tell you the difference just quickly. And that is, you know, before I got saved, I would go out and I would drink, and then I would say, I'm never going to do this again until the next Friday night or Saturday night. And then I was off again. Then I'd say, I'm never going to do this again. But when I accepted Jesus in my life, I didn't have to go and say, I'm never going to do this again. I was free.
Right. Yeah.
I was born again. That desire, literally, God broke the power of that desire over my life. Now, and that's the difference when you accept Jesus Christ. Now God is on your side, and he's working in your life to help you to overcome those desires that are wrong.
And I want to share with the audience that's part of it is God is on our side.
Yeah.
Too many people that are struggling with addiction believe God's out to get them. He's not. They're getting themselves. God doesn't have to go out and get them. They have the devil that's helping them to their life to be destroyed. They're destroying their own life. God's not out to get you. God is there for you. Pastor Bob, what I want you to do is I want you to pray for those that are listening. But I want to put out a song. You says turn around, and I have a song called Turn Around, Turn Me Around. And so I just want to play that song, and after that, we'll have you pray for our audience.
I've been here before. Now here I am again, standing at the door, praying you'll let me back in. To label me a prodigal would be only scratching surface of who I've known to be. Turn me around, pick me up, undo what I've become. Bring me back to the place of forgiveness and grace. I need you, I need your help. I can't do this myself. You're the only
Maybe you're listening, and I just feel led. There's individuals that are listening to this show that you've been a Christian. Maybe at one time God even set you free from addiction, and you're at a place now where you can say, that's me. As I've been listening to this show, I need God to turn me around. Pastor Bob, can you pray for that individual?
Yes, I'd like to. Just as we do that, Pastor Rich, it says in Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved me. And that's the key right there. God is for us. He's not against us. So, Lord, I just pray for those individuals that are out there tonight that really, truly haven't experienced your love. Or, Lord, they've experienced it and they've walked away from it. But, Lord, you're drawing them back. And so, Lord God, right now, I pray that they would make that turnaround. And, Lord, tonight would be the night where they never look back again. Lord, just like a prodigal, the father was there with his arms wide open, ready to reach out and accept the son. And Lord, I pray as the sons and the daughters come in tonight, they will experience that love of God that will transform their life once and forever. And we give you praise for that right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, as we close out, Pastor Bob, I thank you for being in here tonight. It was fun having you here. And I think we needed more time.
Yes, we did.
We always need more time. I want to just close the broadcast by saying there is hope, that as you lay your head down tonight, I want you to know that there is a way out of your situation, that Pastor Bob has shared just about one individual. If you listen to our broadcast in the past, we've had many, many, many shows of individuals that have been set free from alcohol and drugs and other addictions. And you may think it can't happen to you, but as Pastor Bob shared, a gutter drunk, we had an individual who didn't bathe for a year, that was out here in the streets of Seattle, that lives in one of our houses, a Fairhaven house, and his life is totally different now. And so there is hope. Good night. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to There Is Hope, a program dedicated to getting those trapped in addiction on the road to recovery and living clean and sober lives. The opinions expressed on the preceding program were not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of this station, and any advice or counsel given was provided for informational purposes only. For more information on what you've heard about today, click on thereishoperadio.org. That's thereishoperadio.org.